Well, good morning, church. We should have had a warning with this one. Comes with tears, right? If you made it through that children's song, you have a very strong constitution. But I love what it said. If I fear, I should run to Jesus. And today, I don't know if you know as adults, but I bet you if you're a child here this morning, it is family day, which is awesome because the children get to stay in here. Children, what day is today? Halloween! Yay! It's when we celebrate fear. Great, because we need more of that in our life. I'm pretty sure what I am full of and don't have enough of is fear, right? I should be scared not only of like normal things, but I should be scared of sharks and zombies and sharknadoes and dark spiritual demons that float around my house and are waiting for me to close my eyes. Yeah, it's not a joke, is it? But the world is really trying to get us to normalize fear. But it's a spirit, and it's not from God. The kind of fear we're celebrating tonight, or that the world is celebrating tonight, we don't celebrate Halloween. We celebrate a different type of fear, the fear of the Lord, right? And that's the type of fear that we do need. You see, God takes it very seriously what we fear. Scripture talks a lot about fear, actually, because fear is a powerful motivator, both physically and spiritually. Like, when you're afraid, your body is telling you to do something, right? Your body is screaming out to do something. You know, the fact that you're sitting here, and some of you with beautiful gray and white hair have learned to fear some things, and rightly so. You have learned that throwing gas on a fire will blow you up. So maybe that fear has kept you up. Maybe you've learned that playing around on the rooftops is not a great place to be. Maybe you've learned that walking down alleyways in the dark, also not smart. Maybe walking through Texas in the woods without looking where your feet are. Also not smart, right? You've learned to fear some things that deserve some healthy fear. They keep you alive and safe. So God has given us some fears to keep us around, alive and safe. But fear also can be very dangerous. Fear, when it's like a fire in a fireplace. When it's in the fireplace and we're looking at it how God wants us to look at fear and we're fearing the right things, it's great. But when fire gets out of the fireplace, even just 8 inches away onto your living room carpet, not so great. It's very damaging. Fear is also a negative tool. And it's a tool that Satan loves to use in our life to cause damage. Because when we fear the wrong thing, it will change us. Because what we fear, we react to it. We act accordingly. So today, if you want to ask, you know, what should we fear? What is fear? What does God say about it? Then that's a great question because we're going to talk about that this morning. So would you stand with me as we read God's word together? We're going to read a couple passages. The first one is Deuteronomy 10, 12 through 13. And it says this. And this is God talking to the people of Israel at his holy mountain in Sinai. And he says this. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God. So what does that fear look like? To walk in all of his ways, to love him, and to serve him, the Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandments, the statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. See what the fear of the Lord does? It's for our good, right? Amen. Isaiah 41:10. Talks about a different type of the fear. Fear not. So wait, God commands us to fear him. And then he says, fear not. And you're like, okay, all right. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. There's two types of fear, the fear of the Lord and the fear of man. And when we fear the Lord, there's nothing to be afraid of. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word. Thank you that you are good, and you want to teach us from your word what we need to hear today at our time in our lives. I pray, Father, that you would open up my heart, my ears to your word, and you would do the same for my brothers and sisters from the oldest to the youngest, that they would hear the good things that you have to say. Amen. You may be seated. So there's two definitions of fear. Now, This is one sermon on a topic that could take five or six. So I'm just going to do some generalities. All right, two definitions of fear that are primary in the Bible. All right, the first one is this. Fear is a distressing emotion. All right, it's that emotional fear, being afraid or terrified, caused by something or someone or a threat. So you get this emotional response, physical response to a threat, either present, future, imagined, imaginary threats, or real. And we're pretty used to this kind of fear. We know what this feels like, that emotion of being afraid, and it's all over the Bible. So it's on the battlefield. On the battlefield, when Goliath walks out to the Israelites and starts threatening them, this kind of fear was present in the men across the way. They were literally melting in heart, it talks about. Their hearts were melting in fear, and it froze them. All right? But not just there. Fear also comes up later on when angels of the Lord appear. Whenever God appears, there's some legit physical fear. They usually go where? Like right on their face. They are scared of the power of the Lord. And they should be. In that moment, it's scary. All right? First thing that the angel would always say, though, what would he say? Do not be afraid. Okay, so that's good. It also shows up with Jesus. When Jesus would do something powerful, and he would cast out a demon, for example, or cast out the demons, and he throws them into the pigs, and the pigs run into the sea, his power displayed in front of the whole town that was right there, it scared them physically so much they asked him to leave. So they saw God's power, they were afraid, and they asked him to leave. It's not the godly fear they should have responded with. They were so scared they said, get out of here. And fear shows up first in Genesis 3. The first time man is afraid of God. Adam and Eve sinned against God, and what was his response? I heard you coming, I was naked, and I was afraid. And he should fear God in that moment. He should be afraid of God in that moment, because what he did deserved punishment, and he knew it. You know, danger is real, and we should have a real fear of danger. The Bible talks about it this way. Here's a verse, Matthew 10:28. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both the body and the soul in hell. This is Jesus talking. Jesus is okay with you being afraid of the right thing. You should fear God and his ability and his right and his authority to judge you. That's a reality we need to know. We need to be scared of that. And God doesn't do it because he likes us being scared. He does it out of love. So this distressing emotion of kind of fear of being punished is helpful, but God doesn't want to leave you there. He wants to get you past that to a healthy fear. He wants that fear you should have of dying and being sent to hell, which is what Jesus was talking about, and instead fear God in such a way where you don't go to hell. And that's the healthy type of fear the Bible talks about, this second definition. To submit to God, this is fear still, to submit to God, if you can go to the next slide for me, to submit to God in awe and reverence. And it's based on experiential knowledge of his power and works and authority. And you may be like, well, how does that fear? When we see God revealing himself, who he is, and he's showing us in creation, he's showing us through his son Jesus, he's showing us through miracles, he's showing it to us in our life. When we see who God is, our response should be awe and reverence for who he is. That's a healthy fear of his power, of his authority. That's the kind of fear that is encouraged all over the Bible. Fear the Lord. What they're not saying is do this. What they're saying is honor him, revere him. And we're going to talk about what that even looks like more. In Psalms 33, it says this, verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. That's what fear of the Lord is, standing in awe of the Lord. And that verse we first read in Deuteronomy chapter 10, when Jesus was talking to Israel, he told them what to fear right after he brought them out of Egypt with plagues over years, doing powerful things, getting them across the Red Sea, powerfully moving, getting them through a desert and bringing water out of rocks, putting Moses up on the mountain for 40 days with lightning and fire and thundering. And at that moment, when he was totally sure that they knew who he was, he said, "Fear me. I'm the one you should fear. And it's for your good." So to fear the Lord should be our response. Our entire life, we should grow in a sense of awe and reverence. That's a healthy fear of the Lord, church. All right, so there's two types of fear then, right? Talked about in relation to God. This is in relation to God. There are plenty of things you can fear, though, and not all of them God, right? Not all of them are God. And so we're going to talk about two categories of fear. So those two definitions of fear. Now we're talking about two categories of fear, and I've already said them a couple times. The fear of God and the fear of man. Those are the two categories. Two sources of fear. Your fear is either coming from God as a source or from man as a source. Those are the two options of things that you can fear in your life. The fear of God, and this is a children's church in service. So we're going to have a little fun this morning. All right. Miss Carrie's good about having fun. So I'm like, I can do it too. All right. So this is God. Go with me. All right. Because he's bigger than man. Now, I would have put like a pea-sized individual thing up here, but it's hard to see from the back. So we've got God, who's really big, man, who would be a lot smaller if I really represented his power, right? So this is what we have. And for the whole rest of this message, when I talk about God's power, it's this guy. When I talk about man's power, it's that guy, all right? And you'll see why in a second. So when we talk about the fear of God, right, the fear of God, it's sourced from him. It helps us see real danger in our life. This is coming from the Lord. He wants us to know what's dangerous, and he wants to save us from it. All right, that's what the real fear of the Lord, the source of his fear, is always for our good, not to do anything other than help us. When we fear God, and that's our source, our view of him gets bigger. So when we grow in our fear, our view of him gets bigger. All right, so now we're going to talk about the fear of man, which is also a thing. This is a spirit. The Bible clearly says that there is a spirit of fear. In Romans 8, it talks about that we're not to be enslaved back to a spirit of fear. And also it talks about in Timothy, where it says, you have not been given a spirit of fear, but of love and power, right? So we know there's a spirit that's associated with this. And it comes from within us, ourselves, or it's from other men who are trying to make us afraid, or it comes from Satan. And the fear of man is literally defined like this. It's having a fear, that emotion, being afraid, or even holding up in awe or reverence anything other than God. So if we fear it, whatever it is, and it's making us afraid, or we're holding it up where we listen to that, that is called the fear of man. I'm going to tell you, there are not two options. You can't fear God and fear man equally. They are mutually exclusive. One will be growing and one will be shrinking. So as you grow in your ability to recognize who God is, God doesn't really grow. If I could encapsulate the power of God, it wouldn't fit, all right? But like, all we're doing is recognizing reality. When we fear the Lord, all we're learning is truth, that God is good, God is powerful, God is righteous, God is just, God can save me. It's just recognizing the equation. 2 + 2 always equals 4 with God, because he doesn't change. So when we see God, it grows in our perspective, right? It just gets bigger and bigger, and God gets bigger and bigger. That's fearing the Lord. However, the other thing is also true. If we fear man and we focus on something that we're afraid of on earth, maybe we're just scared of what people think of us. And we're focused on it, and we're focused on it, and we're focused on it, and we're focused on it. It gets bigger and bigger. And when it gets closer, God looks smaller and smaller. Have you guys ever seen this where you can, I can do this. Who wants to help me here? All right, come on up, Morgan, real quick. Make it snappy, my friend. Run. I know you can run fast. He's still walking. What happened to running? All right, so help me here. Which one's bigger? You stay right there. I need you to. I didn't prepare him for this, so he's doing awesome. All right, which one's bigger? It's not a trick question. Oh, he's even using God. Perfect. Which one? So God's bigger, right? All right. So what? Don't move it. Which one's bigger? So what are you more focused on right now? Okay. So if you say, no, I'm not going to focus on other people, they get farther away, and God gets into your view. Who's bigger again? God. Did that ever change? Did God ever shrink?
Yes. He shrunk
when he focused on Satan. Yeah, he kind of shrunk in your eyes, right? But the ball never got smaller, right? Yeah. God is always the same. The man. Give him a hand. Satan wants us to focus on man and the things we're afraid of. God wants us to see him because everything else will get smaller in our life. Pretty cool reality. So now we're going to go through two things, what the fearing of the Lord leads to and what the fearing of man leads to in our life. And I think you're going to recognize them. You're going to see that this is true in your life as well. Having so much fun and you keep drinking. All right, so the fear of God, where does it lead us in our life? Okay, first place it leads us is to repentance and saving faith. Repentance and saving faith. So I'm going to read this experience of Isaiah out of Isaiah chapter 6. It's not on the screen, but I want you to, if it helps you focus, close your eyes so you can put yourself in the moment. And we're going to experience with Isaiah the power and holiness of God and where it leads him. It says this in Isaiah 6:1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I, Isaiah, saw the Lord sitting upon the throne. So in our mind, we got to go here. We are in God's temple, and we see the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and two they covered their feet, and with two he flew. And one called to the other, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. And the whole earth is filled with his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. And Isaiah said, Woe is me! I'm lost! I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the middle of people who have unclean lips. I'm sinful, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Thankfully, one of the seraphim flew to him, having in his hand a burning coal, and he touched his tongues with the coal from the altar. And he said, Behold, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for. In that moment, Isaiah, when he saw who God was afraid. He was fearful because he also saw who he was, a sinful man. He knew he shouldn't be there. He knew he had the right to be punished. But thankfully, God made a way for him to stand in that throne room unafraid. He forgave him. He forgave him. And that is what God will do for us. When we get to know who God is, when we read Scripture and it convicts us of our sin, it should strike a little fear in our hearts, especially if we have not put our faith in Jesus. We should repent. We should tell God, I don't deserve your forgiveness, but I'll receive it. And then we don't have to be afraid any longer, because God is faithful to warn us of danger. That's exactly why in Matthew 28, Jesus literally said, Fear the one who can send your body and soul to hell. He wants people to know the reality, but he wants you to not be stuck in fear. He wants to release that fear. So it leads us to repentance and saving faith. The cool thing is, when we turn to Jesus in repentance, he tells us we shouldn't fear judgment anymore. Romans 1, right? Says this, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So you don't have to fear punishment from God if Jesus is your King and he's forgiven you. You don't have punishment coming. You don't have condemnation coming. Now, we're all going to stand in front of the Lord and he's going to judge our actions and we'll be rewarded. But you're not going to be condemned anymore. So no more fear from the Lord. Amen. So it leads you to repentance, right, and being saved. Then it leads you to obedience and worship. So the first thing that Isaiah does, he's forgiven, and God says, Who can I send? And Isaiah's like, oh, he goes from being scared of God to going, send me, I'm ready, right? So he went right from fear to repentance, being forgiven, and saying, I want to serve you. I want to obey you, because now I get a chance to obey God and I get to worship him. Because obedience in our life is what God calls worship, right? Romans 12, Gary just preached on it last Sunday. When we obey and we follow the Lord's commands because we fear him, it's called worship. It's our act of worship. Amen. All right. So it leads to worship and obedience. This is really common in Scripture. True, healthy fear of God always results in obedience. If you have a healthy fear of God, you will obey. If you don't have a healthy fear of God, which happens to all of us, we won't obey. Psalms 34 says this, teaching us about what this is. Psalms 34, David says, come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And he says, why do you need to know about the fear of the Lord? Verse 12, what is man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? If you want life and seeing good, this is what you do. You keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good and seek peace and pursue it. If you truly fear the Lord, you will avoid evil and do good. That's what the fear of the Lord looks like in your life. Pretty awesome. So it leads to repentance, leads to obedience and worship. Then it leads to protection and blessings. That same psalm. If you haven't written down Psalms 34 yet, write down Psalms 34 and go read it later. It's all about the fear of the Lord, and I wish I could read the whole thing. It says this in Psalms 34 to talk about being protected. I sought the Lord. He answered me and delivered me from all of my fears. Those who look to him, focus on God, are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man, he's talking about himself, cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Then he says this, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Amen? Amen. Amen. This is the truth. When we put our fear in the Lord, we are under his protection. It does not mean life will be easy. Jesus said that. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So, but you're still under his protection. Whatever happens to you is because he is going to help you through it. And it's going to be for your good and his glory. So when you fear the Lord, you believe this. So when hard things happen, you're not afraid. You're trusting. There's a difference. So when we fear the Lord, we know that we're under his protection and blessing. Then it leads us to courageous faith. This all just kind of adds up, right? So when we trust him, now we're going to have more courage than we've ever had before. I love this. When we grow in our knowledge of God, who he is, and we fear him, all other sources of fear start to lose their grip on us, right? So when God calls us to make that courageous step of faith, we're willing to listen when we never would have before, or it doesn't make sense to other people. So using the example of David, because he's a quick story we all understand, what do you think David's view of God was before he got to the battle? How big? You can answer. Big. All right. So do you think David walking up to the battle had a small view of God, then all of a sudden showed up at a battle and he's like, oh, now God's huge in my life? No. The reason David was different was not because in that moment he's like, I can do it. I'm bigger than that dude. It's because when he saw Goliath, you know what he saw? Something even, this puny little guy. And he saw God, and he's like, what's the deal, y'all? Why aren't we just offing this guy? That's language for the young ones, all right? Why is somebody not going out there and just taking this guy down? Because God is mighty. This is just a dude. I mean, if I could hold a pea up here, this is, so when we think David was crazy, he wasn't. He had invested and focused on who God was so much that when he saw a tiny little giant, he knew what it was. Nothing to be afraid of. Now, more people aren't like David because not many people focus on who God is as much as David did. Right? That's why he had a heart after God himself. Pretty cool when we think of David having led to courageous steps of faith because his view of God, he feared God more than man. And in the New Testament, Stephen, right? Stephen, if you don't know his story, he was leading the church powerfully. teaching, healing people, preaching the gospel of Jesus in Jerusalem. And the Jewish leaders didn't like it. He was threatening to them. And so they brought him in front of the Sanhedrin, around 70 of the most powerful people in Jerusalem and in their culture. And they sat him down, and they were going to grill him. And I love what it says about Stephen's face. It says this, Acts 6:15. All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at this man, Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. They're all angry, bitter, and about to rip him apart, and he's just like, and he did rip them apart. He preached the gospel right to their face, and he said, you don't believe in Jesus. You're the ones who killed him, and you need to repent. And they got so angry at him, and he knew what he was saying, that they tore him out of that temple, and they stoned him to death. But even in that moment, he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out, Lord, don't hold this against them. He wasn't even scared of them when they were killing him, because he feared the Lord. That's courageous faith, and we can do that too if we only focus on him. We always have to keep God in the equation. That's what the fear of the Lord does. It keeps God in the equation. When God says 2 plus 2 equals 4, it means 2 plus 2 equals 4. Always. No matter how much somebody's screaming in your face that it doesn't, no matter how many wise arguments that they might give you that says, nope, it's not true, God is going to say, yeah, it's true. So when we are fearful of something other than God, we can start to convince ourselves that maybe 2 plus 2 doesn't equal 4. Maybe this faith in Jesus isn't exactly where I thought it was going to take me. Maybe God can't really save me. Maybe God isn't as powerful as they are. Maybe my view in Scripture is really old and outdated. Maybe 2 plus 2 doesn't equal 4. Maybe there's a new thing not called for that I never thought of. That's the fear of man. When we fear God, truth remains the same. And so we want to put God back into the equation. Satan wants to pull God out of the equation of your life. Whatever you're fearful of, Satan wants it out. And God wants more of himself in. You plus God versus whatever else equals victory. That's the equation. Okay? So now we're going to move on. Where does the fear of man lead us? Where does the fear of man lead us? Because we don't live. I wish we did. I wish I did. I wish I always lived in this category of fearing God more than everything else. I don't. And neither do you. I'm throwing you under the bus, all right? There are things that you fear more than God sometimes, and so we're going to talk about what that does to us, all right? So this is what it does to us. Fear of man leads us. This is the damaging fear, unhealthy fear, right? Centered in man, not God. It leads us to sin and spiritual damage. When we fear man, it will lead to sin and spiritual damage because we are denying the truth of who God is. When we're afraid so much so of other things and we're putting them and we're scared and we're actually denying how powerful God is. Romans 1 actually talks about how this works out in our life. He talks about the fact that even though we know who God is, we deny it and we want to do our own thing. Fear me. I'm God. Don't fear him, even though it says this in Romans 1:32. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things, all these evil things, deserve to die. So they know the decree. God says you deserve to die if you practice this. They know it. They not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. They're not scared of God. They want God to be scared of them. That's the fear of man. And that leads you to sin. And it says the wages of sin is death. When we reject how God is powerful in our life, it leads us to sin. Not only to sin, it leads us to slavery. Slavery and idolatry, the fear of man. Proverbs 29:25 says this, the fear of man lays a snare. Do you know what a snare is, kids? It's that big trap that you put on the ground. If you step in it, it chops your foot off and it keeps you there. Yeah, not fun. The fear of man lays a snare, but those who trust in the Lord are safe. Right? So if you fear man, it's like walking in snares. If you fear God, you're totally safe. All right? Because you will be enslaved by whatever you fear. I'm just going to read this because I can't say it better. Fear is often used as a tool by leaders. because it motivates people to action and compliance. They get you to fear for your life. They get you to fear for your livelihoods. The leaders get you to feel in fear for your social standing. They get you to fear about your future. They want you to go along with their commands, and they want you to do it because you're afraid. Our current culture is obsessed with fear. Fear of sickness, fear of death, fear of climate change. Anything they can get you afraid of, they are going to use that tool and keep using it because they want to control you. And they want you to do what they want. And when I say they, who is the enemy that we face? It's Satan. Don't put words in my mouth. I'm telling you that leaders who use fear are being used as tools of Satan. I don't care who it is, what country they live in, what job they lead, what role they're in, and Satan would like to use us as leaders, even in our culture, to do the same thing. Now, it's okay to preach the gospel, and the gospel also includes preaching the reality of hell. It's okay to use fear to teach people the truth. So there is a healthy fear to use, but I'm not talking about the healthy fear. I'm talking about the fear that leads you to cower in your home and change your behavior, not based on God's word, but based on their threats. Okay? So fear will lead you to slavery, and you make an idol out of whatever you're more afraid of than God. So if I'm more afraid of coronavirus than I am of Jesus Christ and what he's telling me to do in my life, then it's an idol to me. Does that mean we shouldn't actually do things to remain healthy or be concerned about the coronavirus? No, not at all. Really, we should. Thankfully, we have doctors and science, and God has given us wisdom, so we can give a healthy fear of a certain sickness, and then we can know what to do about it, but it shouldn't rule our life. Amen? So I'm not preaching a political message here. This is what the Bible teaches. I could say anything. I'm just using coronavirus because it's the most scary thing in our culture all of a sudden. Right? It leads us towards insecurity and lack of joy. Did you notice that the people who are most powerful in the world who don't actually fear God, they're the most powerful people still build walls around their homes and fences and gates and security? The more powerful they become doesn't make them less afraid of other men because their trust is in themselves and they know men can do anything they want to. So when we fear man, we're insecure because men can do anything they want sometimes. But if we fear God, he's consistent. He gives us security and joy. When we fear something other than God, we don't have security, we don't have joy. We might be living in the same neighborhood as somebody else, going through the same exact thing. One person is insecure because they fear man. One person is secure because they fear God. Fear paralyzes us, keeps us from stepping out in faith. It paralyzes us, keeps us from stepping out in faith. This is what happened to the people of Israel. Not too long after God told them, "Fear me, obey my commands because I'm good to you," they get to the promised land, into the river, and they're supposed to go in. God promised to give the land to them. He said, "I will conquer everyone." And already on the way to this point, he conquered people in battles where he miraculously gave them victory. So he already kind of gave them a whet the appetite. When they come at you, I still got you. And so they got there and they said, okay, well, the wise thing to do would be is send 12 of our leaders from their 12 tribes, right? And you know this story, some of you. 12 of the top men, strongest, most courageous, whatever it might be, and we're going to send them as spies into the land, and they're going to go from the bottom to the top and back, and they're going to tell us a report. Now, the goal of this report should have been like, so how are we going to go in here, right? But when they got back, what happened? 10 of the men said, "God is right. That place is awesome. They're grapevines the size of our body. There's milk and honey everywhere. There's cows. It's great. The problem is all the people are huge, and I feel like an insect around them." They had seen the people, and they were afraid of the people. But there were two men. Do you guys remember their names? Caleb and Joshua, right? They stood up and said, "Yeah, they're right. The people are big." But God's bigger. So we should go in there and own them, because we can. because God's going to do it for us. And they were overruled by 10 scared men because they were afraid. It paralyzed the faith of a nation. A nation that should have had all the faith in the world. And we can sit there and be like, oh, Israel, how dare you? How much do you sit in fear and don't obey God? You do it too. All right. Sorry, I'm not being very nice to you because it's just true. And it's true about me too, right? But it's a good lesson, right? It's a good lesson. It encourages us to realize who we're fearing. If we're feeling paralyzed, it's probably not from the Lord. So, the cool thing was, though, I keep using cool, you know, it's like youth group right now. God still rewarded those two men's faith. When the whole nation of Israel went back into the desert for 40 years, purely to let all the people who didn't have faith die, that's what it was, God sustained those two families who had faith, and he rewarded that faith by allowing those men to lead the nation into Canaan and give them the promised land, which is awesome. So God rewards us when we believe in him and we have faith. So, last thing, when we fear man more than God, it removes God from the equation. I already talked about this a little bit, right? We start to doubt God's truth, doubt his power, doubt his ability. Maybe 2 + 2 doesn't equal 4. Maybe in this situation, my fear of man and their opinion or the problem is just too big and God's not big enough. I need to change how I act. That's how Satan tries to get us to think. Because God does call us to do scary things sometimes. But just because it's scary and it gives us a little fear, a little bit of this, doesn't mean it's not from him. If we know it's from him and it's from his word, he will give us the courage to face it. But if God is small in our minds, our fear of man will just keep us from obeying God. And we lose that reward that comes with this, with obedience. Okay. I think we got a pretty good feel of when we fear God, the good thing that happens, and the hard things that happen when we fear man. So what happens when fear hits us? Let's just finish with these thoughts here. Because fear is going to be a part of your life from now until you die, and actually in heaven. There's healthy fear of God in heaven, right? We don't experience much of that here sometimes. But you're going to have fear in your life, and Satan's going to try and throw it at you. And so we need to figure out, how are we going to respond? How do we know if I'm fearing God or man? How do you know? All right, so how do I know if it's coming from God's source or man's source? Because the Bible clearly does state, and we talked about this in 2 Timothy, that spirit of fear is there, but God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. So this is how we test. Let's go to 1 John 4. 1 John 4, I'm going to read this for y'all. This is how you can start to test where a spirit is coming from in your life, where the thoughts are coming from. It says this, beloved, so he's talking to believers here, do not believe every spirit. Don't just trust your emotions. Don't just trust your mind blindly. Don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God. For many false prophets and men have gone out into the world. People who want to teach you and convince you that things about God are not true. Verse 2, by this you will know the Spirit of God. And this is important. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus is not from God. This spirit is the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is now in the world today. So, even he says, two categories of spirits. Those who acknowledge that Jesus is powerful and the Son of God came and died on the cross, rose again, and has given us victory, that spirit, or the spirit that's not going to acknowledge Jesus as powerful. Those are your two options. So if you're afraid and you're saying, does this fear lead me to believe that Jesus is more powerful, or does it lead me to believe that this other thing is more powerful? Right then you can know that this spirit's either from God, because you fear him and know him better and you're receiving knowledge, or it's from man because you think God's getting smaller, right? So that's how you can discover the two things. How do you solve this problem? Well, you insert God back into the equation. All right, who's got my Jesse? Mr. Calvin, can you grab Jesus? I'm sorry, can you grab Jesus? It's called him Jesse, sorry. I'm bringing Jesus out here because, once again, this is family church and I get to do this, all right? So this is Jesus, very well-painted Jesus, by the way. And where's Ellie? Ellie, are you still in here somewhere? Come on down here, girl. There you go. Yeah, I couldn't figure that out either. All right, this is my daughter, Ellie. Come on up. Come on up. Okay. So I'm going to put Ellie into some situations. I'm going to build an equation. It's going to be Ellie versus, and then equals, right? Ellie versus and equals. So she's going to go through some trials here. She's going to go through some things. I didn't tell her about this either, so you're welcome. All right. So Ellie, we're going to put you over here by yourself, right? Okay, so Ellie's by herself. So Ellie, you have a fear of loneliness, right? So you're scared of being lonely. You're starting to feel this come on you at school. Now, if it's just Ellie, and she says, man, my friends aren't talking to me. Things are going poorly. I really feel like I'm going to be alone in life, right? Ellie versus loneliness equals ugh, right? You don't know how it's going to work out. Ellie, go stand next to Jesus. Okay, same equation. Loneliness comes up. Ellie and Jesus are standing there, and Ellie starts to feel lonely. Wish she could read. She can't read. All right, read this. I knew this was going to happen. This is what Jesus says to you. Can you read that?
I will never leave you or forsake you.
Okay. Ellie versus loneliness. With Jesus knows that I will never leave you or forsake you. Ellie, come back over here. Okay. Ellie, you're trying to do some things in life for God, but you feel too weak. You feel like maybe you can't be used by God. You're just not good enough. And you look at your life and you're like, man, maybe I should stop trying. Because life is hard and we aren't good enough, right? Okay, go stand next to Jesus. Jesus says to you, in your weaknesses, I'm strong. I'm actually the one working in your heart, and I'll help you obey. Don't be afraid of being weak. All right, let's come back over here. All right. Have you ever been anxious about anything in life? Do you know what that means to be, like, worried about something?
Star tests.
Star tests, yes. All right. Anxiety is a real deal. It can cripple us, right? I'm anxious. I don't know how this is going to work out, right? I don't know how good I'm going to do on the test. I just don't understand how I'm going to get through this situation, right? Let's go over and talk to Jesus and see what he tells us about anxiety. All right. I know you're anxious, but you need to pray to me and cast all of that care, all the worry on me and tell me about it. And I will give you peace. I'll help you not be worried about it anymore. Don't let your heart be troubled. And never let your heart be afraid, because I'm with you. Pretty cool. Let's come over here. All right. Having fun, Ellie?
Yes.
I should have worn my Fitbit today. How about this? Let's skip to the end. Have you ever just been afraid? I think sometimes. If we ever watch a movie, it gets us scared, right? Or if you're in your bedroom, sometimes you have to come over and she's done that, you know, when you were a kid, right? So what about us versus fear? Because fear is going to be a part of our life, right? When it's just us versus fear, we don't know the outcome sometimes. We don't know the future. Whatever Satan's putting in your heart this morning or has been kind of trapping you with and you're scared of, you don't know how it's going to work out. You versus fear is kind of like, oh. Let's go over to Jesus and hear this last one. Jesus says to you, fear not. I am with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. And I'll uphold you with my right hand, and there is no reason to be afraid. All right, Ellie? Give Ellie a hand. And in your notes there, what do? We cry out to God and step towards him. When you're afraid, that's what you do. That's what Romans 8 talks about. We haven't been given a spirit of fear, but of sonship. We've been adopted. We cry out to God, Abba, Daddy, Father, and God's Spirit will tell us we're his children, and we don't have to fear. That's what you do. You test the Spirit. Where's the fear coming from? And then you build that equation in your mind. Okay, me versus job loss. Okay, let's put God in this. Okay, me versus job loss. I'll provide to you according to my riches and mercy. I sustain you. And the fear is gone. So church, when we fear God, we have nothing to be afraid of. Perfect love casts out all fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. And when we know Jesus, we're not afraid of that punishment anymore. Amen. He will cast it out. Amen, church? I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward as we pray and get into our time of invitation. Lord Jesus, you are good to us more than we deserve. And Father, we know that there is a spirit of fear in our nation. And so, Lord, we want to pray for your protection against that spirit of fear, and instead that our fear of you would grow and grow in awe and reverence, that we would trust in you. Would you reveal in our hearts, even now, if there's something that's bigger in our life than you? And Father, would you overwhelm it? The things that scare us are scared of you. You are God and you have the victory. It says that, Jesus, clearly that you're at the right hand of the Father and the world is your footstool. You have been given authority over heaven and earth, and you promise to be with us always. And so we want to fear you and not other things. Amen.